You're listening to the sermon audio from Mill Creek Community Church. If you like what you've heard or want to find out more information, please visit our website at mymillcreek.com.
Tell you. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go to the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word of the Lord reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the truth that it brings us. Father, today as Grant brings the message, we pray for strength and for energy for him, that he would be true to your word. Father, teach us from your word. Teach us as Grant leads us this morning. Change our hearts. Change us to be more like Jesus. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Curtis. Good morning, Mill Creek. Privilege to be able to teach to you this morning. If you're a guest here, my name is Grant Parker, and I'm one of the pastoral assistants here on staff. Now, pastoral assistant is one of the many titles I've had to hold over my years in order to try and be able to be an adult and make some sort of money. One of those other titles I've held, and like many of you potentially, was being a lifeguard. During my high school years, I worked as a lifeguard at one of the local city pools in Manhattan, Kansas. Something unique about the pool I worked at was that our pool was extremely accessible to a lot of younger elementary-aged kids whose parents did not really care about where their kids were during the day. Or mostly they knew where their kids would be, and that was at the Northview Pool. So what that meant for a lot of lifeguards, such as me, was that for pretty much the entire summer, we were glorified babysitters that had whistles to course correct kids' actions. And of course, we had a name for the kids that stayed at the pool from the moment it opened to the moment when we kicked them out when it closed. We called them the regulars. Now, as a lifeguard, your role at the pool is to prevent bad things from happening and helping those in need. But what mainly consisted of our job was prevention. Now, our message to the regulars on a daily basis was one of a constant reminder of prevention. A lot of these conversations would look something like this. "No running on the side of the pool, please. Yeah, please don't go around biting people's legs under the water because you're pretending to be a shark, you know? No, you're not allowed to play drowned your friend in the lazy river. Buddy, I don't know what else to tell you. You can't go number two in the pool, you know?" I'm not kidding. It was a daily basis with the regulars, with what felt like an infinite amount of scenarios. Over time, I had realized that these kids often could care less about what we had to say and what our message was. They're at the pool to have fun, not obey. So in my mind, I was thinking, what needed to change? Well, it boils down to two things. Either the kids change, or our message needed to change. Now, in a perfect world, the kids change, and that's the easy solution to the problem. However, we don't live in a perfect world. We live in the world of the Northview Pool, one where kids aren't considering the actions or the consequences of their actions. It's clear that a new message was needed from the pool, or for the regulars at the pool. So in the same way that the regulars from the pool I used to work at needed a new message, we see God present a timeless message to the people of Nineveh and the original audience here in Jonah 3. This morning, we're going to answer three questions related to our passage that's going to help us deal with God's message. The first question being, what is the message of God? What is the message of God? The second question is, how did Nineveh respond to God's message? How did Nineveh respond to God's message? And the third and final question that we will answer today, how are you responding to God's message? Answering these questions will better help us understand what God's word is portraying in this passage. And in that, I hope to encourage you to live a life knowing God's message and how we should respond to such a message. So if you have your Bibles, please join me in Jonah chapter 3. In order to answer our first question of what is the God or the message of God, let us consider the text and where we've come from in the book of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." This verse in our passage this morning should push us to reconsider what God had said to Jonah the first time he spoke to him. God first spoke to Jonah, saying this in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." 3 weeks ago, Matt Gonzalez taught on God's first word to Jonah. And while God's message to Jonah was clear, Jonah rejected it and tried to flee to Tarshish. Matt boiled it down to this. Jonah had rejected God's message and therefore rejected his presence. Now comparing that to what God says to Jonah for a second time in our passage today, he says this to Jonah in chapter 3, verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." It seems that God's desired message to be given to the Ninevites has not changed. Even in the disobedience of Jonah, God's message to the Ninevites has not changed. This should remind us of what Jordan taught us in week 2, that God is sovereign even in our disobedience. The sovereign creator of the universe is using a disobedient and sinful prophet to deliver his message to an evil people. And as we learned from Marty last week about Jonah's prayer to the Lord in the belly of a fish, we learn that God answers imperfect prayers from imperfect people. We see in Jonah's prayer that he is one who lacked mercy and was self-centered. Yet at the end of his prayer to the Lord, this statement rang true for the life of Jonah, the coming Ninevites, and even us. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And because this is true, here we are this morning. God is telling Jonah a second time to go share his message with the Ninevites. So what is God's message? Or what is the message of God? In this section of our passage, we will see two messages of God. One of these messages is quite clear, and one is sort of under the surface, but becomes overwhelmingly prominent by the end of the passage. Now, before we start, I want to provide some context. I want to make sure you understand, when we read this passage and the book of Jonah in whole, we must remember that this book wasn't written to the Ninevites. Rather, it was probably written for post-exilic or post-exile Israelites who had just experienced exile in a foreign land. Nineveh is a foreign land to the Israelites. And this message probably hits home heavy for those who were hearing this or reading it then. But with that said, this book isn't only for the Ninevites. There are many truths that we, Mill Creek Church, in 2025 can take away from this passage. And I'm excited to discuss those with you a little bit more down the road. So what is the message of God? The first thing that we see is that the message of God is one of judgment. Let's come to the text to see how God's message is one of judgment. Look with me starting in chapter 3, verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Why is this God's message? Because remember, in chapter 1 of Jonah, the Lord first tells Jonah that the wickedness and the evilness of the Ninevites has come up before the Lord. More than anything, this text shows us the character of God, in which he desires righteousness from his image bearers. And not just his chosen people in Israel, but we are shown here in Jonah, he desires it for people across the world. Pagans, even like the Ninevites. To put into perspective what God is asking Jonah to do, God is asking Jonah to preach a message of judgment to a pagan and polytheistic city in the ancient world. In comparison, this is like if God asked you to go to a city such as New York, Los Angeles, Beijing, maybe Delhi, and preach judgment against them because of their wickedness. Not ideal in the minds of our comfort-driven hearts. What would your initial reaction be? Would you get up on a chair in the middle of Times Square and yell, "Y'all are done for in 40 days, see ya"? For the Israelites reading this book of Jonah, they should recognize that God takes seriously the weight of sin. And it shouldn't stop with the original readers of the text. God's message of judgment remains true today. With sin comes judgment. Whether that be in a manner described by Jonah, that being the physical destruction or overthrowing of a city, or one of eternal and spiritual judgment. God's message is one of judgment. However, this is not the only message that is portrayed in this section of our passage. The other message of God is one of mercy. In the midst of God using Jonah to go and tell him that judgment is coming, there is mercy. The first instance of mercy we see in our passage is that God is using the likes of Jonah, this sinful, self-centered, and disobedient prophet, is being sent to go declare God's message of impending judgment on the people of Nineveh. Jonah didn't get what he deserved. And in fact, God is using him to make his name great among the nations, a sinner. I want you to understand this. Jonah is no better than the people of Nineveh. Jonah is a sinner, and so are the people of Nineveh. And we see a significant amount of mercy being granted to Jonah. In another instance of mercy on display in this first part of our passage is the fact that God is going out of his way to lead this disobedient prophet to go tell the people of Nineveh that they are going to be judged. I heard it this way from one of the smartest people I know. The purpose of judgment isn't just for judgment, but for a change of heart and a display of mercy. That, by the way, was Matt Gonzalez, so he needs to be writing a book or something for you guys so you can put your name on the inside of it. Let me put it this way. God doesn't need to go tell the people of Nineveh that they are going to be judged. He has the power and capability to just do it. I imagine a Nike ad with a picture of Nineveh and God looking down on the wicked people of Nineveh, watching it being overthrown by another nation, with the famous Nike line at the top of the ad, "Just do it." But that is not God's message. Instead of a Nike ad, we have Jonah 3 to see the message of God. God's message is not one of only judgment, but also one of mercy. And we will see that in abundance the further we move along in the passage. So in this section, we've answered the question, what is the message of God? And again, God's message is one of judgment and one of mercy. But before we can extrapolate this message and consider what it means for us now, we must first look at Nineveh's response to the message of God, leading us to our second question for the day. How did Nineveh respond to God's message? Back when I was working at the pool, when I realized my messaging had to change in order for the kids to change their behavior, and maybe whenever I told one of the regulars that they couldn't do something anymore, otherwise there would be serious consequences, I could usually tell by their response whether or not, in the long term, they would understand the need for change. In some instances, it would look like something like this. Mr. Parker, why? You know? Or in the very rare cases, it would look something like this. You know what, Mr. Parker? You're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. The reason I bring this up is because Jonah 3 shows us that there is a right response to God's message. Now, before we dive in and find the answer of how did Nineveh respond to God's message, I want to remind you of some valuable context. Again, this book wasn't written to the Ninevites. So the Ninevites didn't have the benefit of knowing all of God's message we see today. They heard one piece of it, and it was one of judgment. And what was their response to the message of God's impending judgment? Verse 5 shows us that, so look with me. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. I want to make sure you catch this truth. The people of Nineveh didn't believe Jonah. Rather, they believed the word of God, and it was God's word, not Jonah's, that brought them to a faithful response of repentance. The Ninevites, including the king of this great city, had a right response to God's message of judgment. They didn't blow it off. In fact, they lowered themselves before the Lord, giving us a picture that they understood the weight of their sin. Why did they do this? Why did they respond this way to God's message? Well, there's some extra biblical speculation based on an Assyrian calendar found in ancient Nineveh ruins that there was a solar eclipse that happened maybe when Jonah was there, but God's word doesn't say that. We must understand it was only by them believing the word of God that they were to respond in a faithful way. Let's take a peek at the text and see the heart of a king of Nineveh and his response to God's message of impending judgment. In verse 7, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with a sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who knows, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. In light of just a piece of God's message, that being judgment, the king of Nineveh was seeking a God of mercy. In the same way that God's message here in Jonah 3 is about judgment and wrath, we are also shown of God's immense mercy on those who are sinners. Looking back, let's consider the Phoenician sailors who prayed to their own gods on the ship. for the storm to stop. Yet God spared them from disaster at sea, and in return, they worshiped God. Consider Jonah, who initially ran from God's message and rejected his presence. God gave Jonah a second chance, and it was a full display of God's mercy. And let's consider the Ninevites in our passage this morning. This vast city of this people and king whose evil was so bad, God had to send a prophet to go tell them that judgment was coming. But in response to just a piece of God's message, the people and the king of Nineveh sank low and turned from their evil ways and called out mightily to God for mercy. And what does God do? I shouldn't even have to tell you all this. Verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Some may say God didn't live up to his word. He changed his mind. No. God's in control. And more than anything, this shows us that God would rather be merciful, and the gospel narrative seems to back this up. Folks, our message here in this passage is one of judgment and one of mercy. And a right response to his message matters. This then leads us to ask our final question this morning. That being, how are you responding to God's message? Often, the regulars at the pool I worked at didn't really understand why our messaging changed over the course of the summer. One day it was, "Hey buddy, knock it off," you know, 10 times that to the same kid. The next day it was, "Buddy, if I catch you doing that again, you're going to sit out for 30 minutes or you might even be done for the day." Earlier, I shared some of their responses to this new messaging. And what most of the kids didn't realize was that our message didn't just change just because, you know. We changed it because we didn't want someone to get seriously injured or hurt at the pool. When one of the kids would finally get in trouble, I would come make them sit by me next to the stand and explain to them that what they were doing was wrong, and here was why. I would say to them sometimes, "Someone at another pool in town was doing something very similar to you and got seriously injured. And sometimes they even had to go to the hospital." It wasn't until then that it got serious for the regulars. The message of judgment on the regulars at the pool was to portray that their actions were serious and could be detrimental to their lives and others as well. And in fact, the message of judgment on the regulars was actually one of mercy. But notice, in order for it to make sense for these kids at the pool, us lifeguards had to change our message. But what remains true for this passage and the rest of God's word is that God's message does not change. In fact, God's message is the same then as it is now. As we've answered what God's message is in this section of Jonah 3 and seeing Nineveh's response, we must challenge ourselves this morning to ask and answer, how are you responding to God's message? First, to my non-believing friends that are here or who might be listening, God's message of judgment and mercy is very real for you. So how are you responding to God's message? The reality is that you are in a similar shoes as the Ninevites. Instead, the judgment you are facing is not one of your city being overthrown, but one of eternal judgment. According to God's word, every one of us will be judged, Christian and non-Christian. But what you need to understand is that there is only one way to rejoicing in God's mercy, and it's by believing the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel shows us this. In light of God's message of judgment and mercy, in order for us to be able to rejoice in God's mercy, we need someone to deal with our sins. Because we should understand that after today and reading the passage, God takes serious sin. The only way to deal with sin in our lives is by repenting of your sins and believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in flesh, lived a righteous life, meaning he lived with no sin, and sacrificed himself, bearing the weight of all of God's judgment and wrath for those who would believe in him. God's judgment was dealt to Jesus so you might have a chance of rejoicing in God's mercy. So what is your response to God's message of judgment and mercy? It's either you dealing with your sin or the one who can truly save you from your sin. I implore you, put your hope and stay in Jesus Christ, because this is the right response to Jonah 3. And finally, to my Christian brothers and sisters here, we must remember that God's message is both judgment and mercy, and these things are very relevant to us. To try and make this relatable to you, what is your gut reaction when you sin in your own life? What I'm going to do is I'm going to name some sins or things that go against God's word and will according to the scripture. And whether you do or do not fall into temptation with these particular things, that's something you and the people you tell and the Lord know. In this moment, I want you to wrestle with your gut reaction to some of these sins. Adultery, sexual immorality, lust, idolatry, covetousness, lying, slander, gossip, pride, envy, hatred, greed, selfish ambition, murder, stealing, drunkenness, rage, divisiveness. What is your gut reaction to the sin of your own life? The point of this application is not to make you doubt your assurance of Christ and his work. Rather, it's to remind you of his work, so that we can walk faithfully in newness of life. So let me ask, is your response to the sin of your own life similar to a response as the pagan people of Nineveh? Where they broke down and understood the weight of their sin? Or do we live like God's message of judgment isn't true? Do we take advantage of God's mercy? Because God's message of judgment is true. Remember, God's judgment and wrath was poured out on Christ on your behalf. Are you reminded of the weight of your sin? Jonah's sin, the people of Nineveh's sin, and our own sin put Christ on that cross. And it's because of the truth of God's judgment poured out on his Son, who was blameless, sinless, not like us, that we can rejoice in the mercy of God. Christian, how do you respond to God's message of judgment and mercy? Let us never forget the weight of our sin, which placed our Savior on that cross. Have assurance in the work of Christ, so that we might rejoice in the mercy freely given to us. This is the right response to God's message of Jonah 3. Pray with me. Lord, we come to you in awe of your character. Lord, understanding that you are a God of righteous judgment, but also knowing that you are a God of infinite mercy. Lord, I pray that we would never forget the weight of our sin which put Christ on that cross, and that we would live our lives daily understanding the cost. Lord, I pray that we would bask and rejoice in the mercy you've given us and sharing that with others, that we, the gift that we have received, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you like what you've heard or want to find out more information, please visit our website at mymillcreek.com.